The Promise to the Overcomer, Part 2. The following message was preached by Brother Amos on Sunday, the 4th of February, 2007, at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos, and is a continuation of the above-titled message. Good morning, Church. I greet everyone in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you all. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Brother Amos prayed. We turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19, from verse 16. And, behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do, that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them, and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, and follow thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Amen. We will take another text in the book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. We will now go straight to verse 27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. Saints of God, we want to continue the message we took on Thursday titled, The Promise to the Overcomer. Although we are using the chart of the plot, my message is not on the plot. But yet, we are using the chart of the message on the plot, because we want to emphasize and highlight certain things in the plot chart that are material to our message today. And that is why we are using the chart. And I pray that God will bless our meeting this morning. Now, we just read about this young, rich man. He was so rich. In fact, he was too rich for him to sell out everything to follow Christ. He had too much than he could give to Christ for eternal life. So, it was not possible for him to sell out to possess the revelation of life. He had to turn down the truth of eternal life because the premium he placed on his material riches far outweighed the premium he placed on eternal life. Yet, something told him deep in his heart, he had a conviction that did not allow him to sleep. A conviction that he did not have eternal life, and the same conviction pointed him to the right man, the one who could show him the way, for that man is a way. He did not go to the Pharisees. He did not go to the scribes. He did not go to the chief priests, nor did he go to Gamaliel. He came to the Savior of the world. He came straight to the Redeemer, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And he asked him, What can I do to have eternal life? And Jesus threw out a fillet to him, to touch his spirit. But church, eventually, Christ gave him the ultimate, for you to receive eternal life, For you to come into life, you must be ready to sell all you have to possess it, and that he could not do. And it is the same requirement for you and me today. You and I must be ready to sell everything we have to possess the revelation of Jesus Christ. For the revelation of Christ is the revelation of life eternal. Until and unless we can sell out everything we have to possess it, we cannot come into life, particularly as people that are following the message of the hour. So, this rich young man was rich to sell all to have life. For some people, it could be popularity in the ministry. They have too big a ministry for them to sell all to follow Jesus. The high priest could not sell all. He had too big a post in Israel, in religious Israel. He had too big a post for him to humble himself to follow Jesus of Nazareth. He had too big a ministry for him to humble himself to receive the revelation of truth. He could not sell his post to follow the Lord. But what use was his post outside of the revelation of the life of the Lord and outside of the dealership of the Spirit of God? What a pity! And what would that post serve him on Judgment Day? Think about it. Some people are too popular in the ministry, and they have a big name all over this world. They are too popular for them to sell out to receive truth. They are too popular. And sometimes, the problem is about an assembly. A man in the ministry, a pastor, can have too big a congregation until it is too big for him to sell out to receive truth, because he knows if he stands for truth, it is going to thin out his crowd. That is why we said on Thursday, you would have to appreciate the value of truth for you to sell everything to possess it. You cannot sell everything you have to possess the truth of Jesus Christ if you do not have the revelation, the understanding, the knowledge that what you are selling everything to possess is more than all you are selling. And that is the truth. That is why in the book of Proverbs, we are told in chapter 23 and verse 23 that we should buy the truth and sell it not. There is a price for truth, because the truth of Jesus Christ is the revelation of life. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding, because it is life. And when you buy it, do not sell it. How do you buy it? You do not buy it with literal money or with material possessions, for it is a revelation. You buy it with all your heart. It is a sacrifice. You must be willing and ready to lay everything down in order to stand for it, to possess it. And when you possess it, you possess it for the good of your own soul. When you reject it for the damnation of your own soul. That is why I will say this. If you come to church, you do not come to church to do me a favor. You come to church to do yourself a favor. Because you do not have to come, you can sit at home. But as a man makes his bed, he lies in it. I pray you come to church. I pray you live your life for the Lord, but you do not come to church to please somebody, and you do not come to church to catch somebody. You come to church for the sake of your own soul. And unless a person realizes the value of his soul, the importance of the salvation of his soul, and he comes to church for the sake of his soul's salvation, he is wasting his time. Any other reason will avail nothing. You do not come to church to pick up a wife. You do not come to church to pick up a husband. If you do that, you are wasting your time. And I will tell you, you are playing the fool. Because the life of a man is more than marriage. The life of a man is Christ. For Christ is life, he is everything to us, for he is life eternal. So, if you are going to come to church, you come for your soul's salvation. You come to church to know the Lord and to walk with him. You do not come to church because you are looking for a business contract. Neither do you come to church because you are looking for a job. You may be wasting your time if you do, because your heart must be right. Some people make a stand because they see it as an opportunity to become something, an opportunity to make a name and be a big shot in the movement. They have a selfish, secret, ulterior motive for their stand. Let me tell you now, it will not work. It has never worked. It shows your heart is already defiled. And if your heart is not right, the devil does not need to do anything to you. What will take you out is already within you. It is your defiled heart. What is going to derail men, and what is derailing men today is not without them, it is within them. What will bring men down is not outside them, it is within them. It takes a perfect heart to walk with the Lord. Nothing else will make it through. A perfect heart towards God, towards truth, and towards His will is a must-have. If your heart is anything different, the devil does not even need to worry with you, because you already have what is going to take you out. Because unless the heart of a man is perfect in this way, you are wasting your time. I say that because the day will come, God will create the conditions that will lead you out. And it will be that heart of yours. It will be the state of your heart, that idol in your heart, the ambition that is buried in your heart, the selfish secret motive you cover up with a smile, that is going to take you out. And that is what is causing the fall of many today, particularly in the ministry, the ambition in their hearts. For some, it is the ambition to be in the ministry, an ambition they will never give to God because they do not want to sit down. They want to be a minister at all costs, and that is what is going to take them out. It has to be, because if it is not the will of God for you to be in the ministry, you cannot take on the ministry by force. Yes, you can pray as much as you want, but if it is not God's will for your life, you are wasting your time. If you will not sacrifice that ambition, if you will not give it to God, that will be the very means of your derailment, for God rules this kingdom, and His will is sovereign. Your ambition may be the price God is asking you to give as payment for the revelation of life. That is the truth. Brothers and sisters, buy the truth, and sell it not. Truth has a price. The price of truth is nothing other than a heart of total appreciation of the preciousness and the pricelessness of the revelation of Jesus Christ, for it is the revelation of life. It is. Certainly, truth is worth our all. And, church, there is a promise to the believer, a promise to the overcomer, and that is what we are considering. But we start today with the condition of this rich young man. He had too much than he could submit. And at the end of the day, what did he have? He had nothing, because he came to the world with nothing. And though a man prosper like Bill Gates, he is living with nothing. He came with his soul, and he is living only with his soul. But the real question is, what is the condition of that soul? Does it have life, or is it devoid of life? I said, does it have eternal life, or is it devoid of eternal life? Because if it is devoid of life, it is going to hell. I do not say that to be mean. I say that because it is the truth. If a person cannot sell out everything to possess this revelation, to stand for this truth, it is obvious he does not know the value of the revelation of Jesus Christ he is presented with. And there is no way a person, after having possessed it, truly knowing the value of it, to sell it. It is impossible. Because it is your greatest asset. It is your greatest asset. In the first instance, you had to sell everything you had to possess it. So it is not something you can sell after having acquired it. Because there is nothing else you have in this life that amounts to anything. There is nothing. Because in this place, we have no continuing city, and nothing is permanent. You can occupy a big post, and God can remove that seat. You can have all the money in the world, and God can send locusts to eat it up. You can build a great industrial empire, and it can collapse. You can own every eye-catching property anyone can think of in this world, brothers and sisters. And God can still turn you into a pauper. It has happened many times before. I can show you many Hollywood stars who are begging for bread today. I watched a television program on it before. There is no condition that is permanent. That is why we have to walk in the fear of God, humbly and reverently, knowing that we are nothing but just a little dust. And whatever we are, it is just by the grace and mercy of God. And whatever we are able to acquire, or whatever we are able to accomplish, is simply and strictly by the grace and the mercy of God. But your greatest asset, your only true possession, is a revelation of life. But a man cannot know that, and a man will not know that, unless he has been dealt with by God. It is a revelation. It is strictly a revelation. Look at our chart on the plot. In this Laodicean church age, God started His dealing with the end-time elect bride through Elijah, to call out a bride, and to give her a message of restoration, that brings her back to Bible, giving us back Bible days, so that from the Bible, God can once again begin to speak to the bride of Christ, that from the Bible, Christ cannot continue to reveal himself to the bride without any creed or dogma or tradition, or without any carnal idea getting in the way of true revelation, without any hindrance, without Christ having to submit himself to judgment by a council who will determine what an organization should believe or what they should not, carnal men who will determine what to allow and what not to allow. So, brothers and sisters, God raised up that man, William Branham, Elijah of Malachi chapter 4 verse 6b, with a message to call out a bride and to restore them to Bible truths, that from the pages of the Bible, Christ can begin to reveal himself to an element that have been called out, and from that element, he can get himself engaged to a bride. When he passed away, God raised up another man, Raymond Jackson, as a chief apostle from that fold of people. God used him to take the restored truths of Elijah, the truths we have had accessibility unto, and with it build a platform, a foundation of faith, a foundation of truth, through which the efficient fire for ministry would be projected. He also tied up the loose ends of the message. God called him home in December of 2004. Brothers and sisters, although he is gone, God simply moved forward in his plan of salvation, because the bride is still here. And as long as the bride is here, God will continue moving forward. Men may come, men may go, but as long as the bride is still here, God will continue to move for the bride. The plan of God remains, and the move of God will therefore continue, and the revelation of Christ will continue to unfold. Men come, men go, but the plan of God remains on course. The plan of salvation remains on course. So God anointed another man, the John of this hour, in the third move. And through him, we are still having continuity to the message of Elijah. Whatever balance of truths remain in the scriptures, ordained for the edification of the body of Christ, God will use this hour of John to give it to the elect bride. It still gives us continuity to the message of Elijah. But I will say this. You must understand this morning, because we are talking about the promise to the overcomer, all in the movement will unite against John. And when I say they're going to unite against John, we are talking about uniting against John in his ministry and against the continuity of truth he will bear for the bride of Christ. Because the continuity of truth he will bear is the continuity revelation of Jesus Christ. But in spite of the opposition, through this continuity move, truth will shine as never before, because this is not the plan of a man. It is the plan of God. Remember this when you consider the movement, particularly since the passing away of Brother Branham in 1965. And like I was pointing out last Thursday, and as Brother Jackson was emphasizing in his message, the body of Christ, when he was crying about the establishment of the head of the ministry, the apostolic head, he said, for about 40 years, every man has gone his own way. Each man has been doing his own thing. But it is the bride of Christ that has suffered. Why? Because here is Ewald Frank of Germany. He is carrying on his own thing. He is preaching his own thing. And he has his followers all over this globe. But he is bringing unity to nothing. And he is not giving any true understanding, any revelation of the truth to anybody, because he has a warped picture of the Bible. He is like a man that has a few pieces of the puzzle, but does not have all the pieces. And the few pieces he has, he is even misplacing them. So it still does not make any revelatory sense at all. Look at Richard Gunn of St. Paul. He is doing his own thing. He is raising up his own men. But he is bringing unity to nobody. And the prophetic revelation he says he is carrying is warped, but he is still running the roads. He has a name all over the world. That brings me again to the man named Ben Howard of Georgia, USA. He is doing the same thing. He has people following him all over creation, from Malawi, to the USA, to the Philippines, all over this globe. But I say, he has brought no unity to anything, and he has brought no understanding of the truth to anybody. I can say the same thing concerning Joseph Coleman, and I can say the same thing concerning Neil Frisby, just as I can say the same thing concerning any of these other men. So it is the bride of Christ that has suffered for the past 40-something years, because these men brought nothing but confusion in the movement since the passing away of Brother Branham. And that is why there is no two of them you can get to speak the same thing on an issue of truth. There is no two of them. And none of them is following the Bible pattern. That is why we brought out a message on the plot, to show you the Bible plot, the pattern God charted in the Word to get a bride at this end time. And the plot gives you the Bible pattern. We cannot follow the pattern of Richard Gunn, or Reward Frank, or Ben Howard, or any of these men. We have to follow the Bible pattern. That is the only way. There can be no other way. We have got to follow the Bible pattern. And may I say this, whoever does not follow the pattern of the Bible cannot overcome, will not overcome, but he is already overcome by the devil. For the only thing the gates of hell cannot prevail against is the ground of revealed truth. Revelation alone is what gives victory, for the word of God will not mix with the creed, nor with the ideas of men. Therefore, whoever will not follow the Bible pattern is already overcome by the devil. You will never be an overcomer except you walk by revealed faith. You must follow the blueprint of God's revealed word. And the promise we are looking at in the scriptures today will not have any relevance in your life unless you walk in the light. You will only hear of the promise, but you will not partake. Because this is not a game. You cannot tell this movement anything. Well, I have a word for them in this message. For 41 years, every man has been going his own way. Ewald Frank has done that, Richard Gunn has done that, Ben Howard has done that, Joseph Coleman has done that, Neil Frisby has done that, Perry Green has done that. All of them have gone their own way, preaching their own thing, their own version of the message. And some of the things they put are so ridiculous that it is incredible that people will sit under ministries like that to eat such kind of projections. I do not say that to be rude, and I do not say that to be arrogant. I say it to shake somebody, because it is the truth, and it is too late in the day. Somebody needs to wake up. Somebody has to wake up. May I tell you this, we are living in the hour of the Mount Carmel showdown. The countdown is on. We are living in the hour of the Mount Carmel showdown, and God will bring every prophet of Baal to judgment. I say that because in this Branham movement, there are many Baal worshippers, spiritual Baal worshippers, idolatrous people. That is what Prophet Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, told King Saul to obey. The word of God is better than sacrifice, and to hearken against the truth, than the fat of rams. What did he call rebellion? He said, for rebellion against the truth is as a sin of witchcraft. That is rebellion against the plan of God. Rebellion against the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is equal to the sin of witchcraft. Yet you may swear that you are not a witch, but before God, you are worse, because yours is spiritual witchcraftery. It is worse than witchcraft which is done out of ignorance. And he said, and stubbornness against the word is as iniquity and idolatry, because God made you to serve him, and you cannot rebel and be stubborn against your God and his word. It is idolatry. It shows you do not want the God, and you are not serving that God. It makes you an idolater. And that is the state of this movement. They are a pack of idolaters, and you cannot tell them anything. Their day is over. For 41 years we have listened to men doing their own thing, preaching their own thing. This is the hour of the bride, the hour of the true bride ministry. This is the day that God wants to get out a bride. Do not forget the prophecy of God we received for this end time elect bride. It tells us, this is the day that God is going to deal with the people, to give them a revelation of truth as never before, and God is going to anoint them and bring them forth, and show the world that they are a people full of truth and power, and God will use them to make a difference by His Spirit. And that prophecy aligns with the Word of God, because it is the promise of God that the wise shall shine as the stars of heaven, as the brightness of the firmament, at this end time. God promised it in Daniel chapter 12 verse 3, and in Matthew chapter 13 verses 41 to 43. It holds. In fact, the glory of the latter shall be greater than the former. This is harvest time. So you must understand this morning, saints of God, the entire movement is going to unite against John's continuity revelation, and of course, that shows you they are going to reject the fact of John's ministry, a John-type ministry at the end time. They are not going to accept it. If they did not accept Raymond Jackson as chief apostle, in spite of all God used him to accomplish for the bride, it is not John they will accept either. And if they did not accept the chief apostle, you must know they will turn down John. Yet, God used Brother Jackson for 39 solid years to bear the continuity light of Christ, bringing continuity to the message of Elijah. Think about it. Therefore, I want to warn you, count the cost. This road, this revealed way that is laid out before us at this evening time, in this very day and hour, is the rejected, lonely, and persecuted road. But look to the promise, knowing the value of truth. You have to look to the promise, knowing the value of truth, because what Christ is offering you in his revelation is worth much more than what their persecution can do to you. It is worth more than the loneliness or the rejection that you may have to feel. It is worth more than that. There are so many people, when they cross to the other side, they would wish they had faced the persecution, the loneliness, and the rejection, because when they have to go to hell, oh my, the loneliness in hell, the horror in hell, the pain in hell, the anguish in hell, the wailing in hell, the torture in hell, the gnashing of teeth in hell, is much more than the loneliness they would have suffered here for truth. It is much more than the rejection they would have to bear now for truth, and is much more than whatever persecution they have to face here. But in believing and receiving truth, God gives an inner peace. The truth of Christ comes with an inner peace, and a joy, and an assurance, because you know this is more than life. It comes with an inner peace and a joy. There is nothing the devil can throw at you that can make a difference, because you know this is more than life itself. Yes. So, let us ask ourselves this morning, seeing that there is a promise to the overcomer, what are we to overcome today? What are we to overcome today? That is what I am laying first before you. You and I today have to overcome all the odds and false revelation Satan throws in our way to get us to deny or to reject the continuity truth of John from the pages of the Bible, for it is the continuity truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of the hour, the truth of this day. That is what you must overcome. Whatsoever will take you away from following the continuity truth of Christ for today is what you must overcome. If it is friendship, that friendship must go. If it is business, that business must go. If it is a job, that job must go. If it is a marriage proposal, that proposal must go. If it is family, then let family go, but you must possess the revelation of life and stay with it. If it means leaving a pastor you have a trust in for so many years, so be it. If walking in true revelation, if walking in the continuity light of Christ for today means separating yourself from an assembly you have loved, an assembly where you have made good friends, good brothers and sisters over the years, if that is what it takes, then please do it. That is nothing compared with what Christ has for us. It is a promise to the overcomer, because the promise is strictly to the overcomer. And there is something for each and every one of us to overcome. Something. This is not a game. Truth is free, but it is not cheap. Truth is free, but it is costly. Truth is free in the sense that you do not pay money to buy it, but it will cost you everything nonetheless. It will take nothing less than your total heart. And when you buy it, when you possess it, you possess it for your own soul salvation. You possess it for your own sake. You do not do it for me, because your possession of the revelation of life does not affect my soul. It only affects your soul. And your rejection of it does not affect my soul either. There is a promise to the overcomer. There is something to overcome. What you are to overcome is every device of the devil to lead you out of the revelation of truth. That is what you must overcome. That is what you must overcome. We are not even talking right now, and hear me very well, and put on your thinking caps. We are not even talking right now about the weakness of the flesh, because if you love the truth, and your heart is given to Christ, the revelation of the truth you have received in your soul will transform your life, by the Spirit and willing. But when you reject the truth, I do not care how holy you try to live. Before God, you are unclean. Before God, you are filthy. Before God, you are counted as fodder for burning. And many men in this Branham movement conclaim, I have never fornicated with anybody's wife. Yes, very good. They conclaim, I have never cheated anybody. But when they turn down the revelation of the continuity truth of Jesus Christ for today, they are worse than a physical fornicator. What you must therefore overcome is the wiles of the enemy, his devices to derail you from the foundation of truth, from the revelation of life, because in that revelation is everything. This is not a Roman Catholic sermon. This is a revelation of the Bride of Christ. You must understand that the revelation of the truth of the hour, the revelation of the truth of this day, as per year 2007, the continuity revelation John is bearing from the scriptures, gives continuity light to the message of Elijah, and it ties up in a simple way the message of Elijah with the continuity revelation the chief apostle bar, giving us one true plain message, the message of Christ. And the continuity revelation, saints of God, is the standard you have against every onslaught of the enemy. You have nothing with which to overcome the devil. Out of the revelation of the truth of Christ for today, because the revelation of the hour is the standard against the enemy. There is nothing, absolutely nothing you have in you to overcome the devil. You have no morality, no dedication, no commitment, no humility. Nothing you have can overcome the devil in this day and hour. Utter the standard of the truth of Jesus Christ for this very hour. The revelation of Christ alone is what gives prevailing power. There is nothing to overcome the devil by. Utter the standard of the revelation of the truth of Christ. There is nothing you have as shield against the onslaught of the enemy in this day, apart from the revelation of Jesus Christ for this day. You do not. Saints, the revelation of the continuity truth of Christ for this day, which John bears on behalf of the elect bride, by the Spirit of Christ, as per year 2007, is the standard of truth and is our shield against the onslaught of the enemy. Everything else will fall to pieces before it. Yes, everything else must fall to pieces before the standard. Because when you are following the standard of the revelation of truth, it is a judgment rod in your hand. It is, as a son or daughter of God, when you have the revelation of the continuity truth Christ is giving in your day, the truth of today, it is a standard, it is an absolute in your hand. Everything else, anything contrary, and everything contrary, must fall before it. It must collapse, and it must break to pieces before it, because it is a standard. The continuity light of Christ for this hour is a standard. That is why, with it, you can read the books of Ewald Frank and see his absolute ignorance. He wrote a message, Only Believe Thou Seeth the Lord. When I looked at the title, what a big title. Oh my! At the end of the day, all that was in it was what Brother Branham brought already, as per 1965. I was so disappointed. I just laid it on the shelf. And he is even warped on the doctrine of marriage and divorce, and on the woman of Revelation chapter 12, amongst many others. When you use this standard of truth to censor the teachings of Richard Gunn, you will see his hollowness also. You will see through all their schemes. The continuity light of today, which God is giving the bride from the Bible, is the standard. It is a such light in your hand, a powerful such light. For it takes in every truth we have received so far from God. That is why there is no group of people like the bride. She is bearing the standard of truth as her revelation. Nothing else can overcome the devil. I say that because we are speaking about the promise to the overcomer. It is a promise strictly to the overcomer. But I ask you, how can you overcome the devil without the standard of truth? How can you overcome the devil in your day, when he is blinding your eye to the continuity revelation? You are already overcome by the devil. The fact that you cannot see continuity truth shows you are already overcome by the devil, because the devil has already blinded you. So, where comes your victory? That is why I say this morning, according to the word of the Lord in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, this is a victory that overcometh the whole world, even our faith. That is why I said, it is a revelation of Jesus Christ, the faith of Christ that gives you prevailing power. Take away truth. You have nothing with which to stand against the devil. Nothing. You may live a clean life. Church, so many people who live clean lives will be in hell. There will be a lot of people who live clean lives in hell because God is not looking for human goodness, even though it is good. He is seeking a people that will be foolish and humble enough to accept eternal life on the basis of His revelation, on the basis He has provided, because at the end of the day, eternal life is a gift. I said eternal life is a gift. You can only have it on God's terms alone. It is a gift we have through Jesus Christ, by accepting His revelation. Hallelujah. So, our revelation faith is what gives us the victory. I said, the revelation faith of Christ is what gives us the victory. I have to lay this out, because there is no point talking about a promise to the overcomer if you do not know what you are to overcome and how you can overcome. There is no point talking about the promise to the overcomer, however glorious it may be, if you will not be a partaker of it. There is no point talking about it if you will not be an overcomer. And you cannot be an overcomer if you do not know what you are to overcome and how you are to overcome. That is why I said, overcoming is more than the weakness of the flesh, because it takes God to give victory over human weakness. I said it takes God to give victory over our shortcoming. That is why salvation is of the Lord, and regeneration is of the Lord. But you can at least believe God. At least, you can believe God. You can hold to His word of promise, because Jesus died to redeem your soul. That settles it. Jesus died and paid the price. That settles it. That guarantees your victory. If you will only hold to the revelation of life, you have nothing, I repeat, to overcome the devil by, without the revelation of truth God gives in your day. Your ideas cannot overcome the world. The devil is behind every carnal idea. He is the one churning it out to give humanity one error or the other, in order to derail them from the revelation of life. If you do not believe one error, you will believe another error, if you are not ordained for life, if you are not following a true revelation. Error comes in various colors, sizes, and shapes. So, he gives his men a mass of ideas, to give each carnal man something to hold on to, something to choose from. Because a carnal man is not following a true revelation. And when God has moved on in His revelation, and you turn it down, you are already overcome by the devil. Because the only thing that can give you prevailing power, the only thing that can give you the victory, is the revelation you turned down, which revelation we bear of God. Oh my! There is no truth you can turn down, and yet live an overcoming life. You cannot. You would be under the spirit of delusion. Precisely. Quickly let us go to 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Watch. And this is a victory. This is a triumph. That overcometh the world, even our faith. That faith is a collective noun. It stands for the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, to the measure He has given it, because the faith of Christ takes in the total body of revealed truths. I said the total body of revealed truths is what makes up our faith, which is the faith of Christ. Because without faith, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 tells us, it is impossible to please God. Then you cannot overcome without faith, because without revelation, you may lead a good life, but you will not please God. Therefore, you will not be an overcomer, because the devil has a lot of good people in his pocket. We just read of one good man in Matthew chapter 19. A good man who would not commit fornication. A good man who would not tell a lie, but who turned down the revelation of life. He turned down the revelation that will give him eternal victory. Hear me, children of God, the only thing that will give you victory, the only prevailing power you have over the devil, in this your day, is the revelation of Jesus Christ for this hour. This is not a game. It is a serious matter. This is about life eternal. When the devil came against Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, what did Christ say? It is written. It is written. It is written. How did he overcome the devil? By the revelation of truth. Why? Because that is what gives us the victory. That is why Apostle John declared in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 we just read, This is a victory that overcometh the world. The world that takes in the whole world and its armaments, with the devil and all his hosts. Whatever snares, whatever wiles, whatever devices, whatever creed, whatever dogma, whatever deception that has been set, whatever snares of the enemy. This is what gives us victory over it all. It is the revelation of truth that gives us victory, because by that revelation, God Himself keeps us. And by that revelation, we obtain life, and we come into life by it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, in its continuity, is more than life to you and me, because this mortal life will come to a close. But there is another life that has no beginning and has no end. The life of God, Zoe, eternal life. When we receive His Spirit, we receive His life, we receive eternal life. You can only have it by being foolish enough to humble yourself, to embrace with all your heart the revelation of Jesus Christ, and counting it more than anything and everything this world can offer you. And don't you value it more than every other thing. You do not yet know its worth. I will tell you now, you did not come into this world for nothing. Saints of God, we are on a journey towards eternity. The question, however, is where will you spend your own eternity? You can spend eternity cut off from God. Remember, I did not say eternity in hell, because hell is not eternal, and the lake of fire is for a space of time. It is not eternal. Are you with me? But you can spend eternity away from God, being cut off from God, and you can spend eternity in the divine presence of God. Where do you want to spend eternity? Remember, our human life is a race towards eternity, and every stand we make counts towards that eternity. But where will it be? May God help us to make our stand with God's despised few. But when you do not do that, it shows you do not know the value of the revelation of Jesus Christ. You do not know. You are only making statements, and you only have a religious spirit. That is why Brother Branham said, the greatest demon is a religious spirit. That is, the greatest demon is a religious demon, because they are the same ones that crucified Jesus Christ. That is the greatest demon. Remember, the lesser demons, when they saw Jesus, they even bowed, declaring, "What have we got to do with thee, thou son of David? Have you come to judge us before the time? We know who thou art. Thou art the son of David." And Jesus said, "Shut up." But the religious demons, with their long caps and the rod of office they held in one hand, and with the Torah in their other hand, they were worse than the God-fearing demoniac. That is why Brother Branham said, the greatest demon there is, the worst kind of demons you can encounter, are religious devils. And they are bound in this movement. They are bound more in this movement. That is why you cannot open any scripture to them, for if you do, they will fly in your face and tear you to pieces. All they want is a quote. Children of the devil. Haters of the inspired scriptures. And I have no apology for that, because we do not preach to appeal to the sentiments of men. We preach for the deliverance of God's people. We preach in honor of God's integrity and will. Saints of God, I have to say this. Seeing that the continuity revelation God is giving John for us today is a revelation of Jesus Christ, and seeing that this is the third and final move, and God is perfect in three, you shall therefore know this. The continuity revelation of the hour, the continuity revelation of John, is what our Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, will use to tie up whatever loose ends of the message remain, and also use to add whatever nuggets of the Bible still remain. And thirdly, through it, God will answer whatever Bible questions still remain. And by this same continuity truth, which is the standard for today, all ministries and all teachings will be judged. Take it or leave it, truth is truth. This is a day, and the judgment is on. It is on. One by one, God will show their folly, for spiritual judgment goes ahead of the physical one. It has to. That is why in the last week of Daniel, when you come to Revelation chapter 14, you see the 144,000 preachers of the everlasting gospel pronouncing spiritual judgment first upon Mystery Babylon, the Church of Rome, which judgment is also expressed in Revelation chapter 17, before the reality of the fulfillment of the judgment is wrought in Revelation chapter 18, where she gets a physical judgment, a judgment which God will inflict by the 10 horns of Europe when her flesh is burned with fire. Her spiritual judgment goes first, a pronunciation of judgment by the revelation of the Almighty God. And it is the same today. Yes, it is. This is a day, because I will tell you, the shabby attitude the people in the Branham movement worldwide have to the scriptures and to the continuity truth of Jesus Christ, which Raymond Jackson bore, and the non-acceptance of his position as the chief apostle within the bright ministry, lets you see, church, that 99% of the people in the movement say nothing, heard nothing, and have nothing, even after 41 years of the prophet's death. And in spite of all the accessibility they have to the sermon books of the prophet, they see nothing, they heard nothing, and they have nothing. Yes, that is certain, and it is irrefutable, if you have eyes to see, and ears to hear. Saints of God, if they saw something, why would they not move on with Jesus Christ in his scriptural revelation? I say that because I want to show you one or two things. I have to say this morning, with praise to God and with appreciation for His grace, I have to say this. God allow the present day Minister of Faith Assembly of Jeffersonville, Indiana, USA, James Allen and Bob Thompson, to make the very carnal and warped judgment on the revelation of He that is to come, a judgment that has no scriptural base, a judgment that denies the prophetic application of the quote of the prophet in page 567, paragraph 4 of the Seven Seals book. God allowed them to make their carnal judgment before letting us come into possession of a very serious quote of the prophet, a quote that is as plain as day, sealing the issue of the truth of He that is to come. That is, this quote clearly and plainly lays out the truth that the prophet has a successor standard bearer, one who is to bring continuity truth to the message of Elijah. Precisely. But Thompson got up before the world that day on the internet, and he said, when Brother Branham made a statement in the Seals book on He that is to come, he said it is not a prophecy. He said the quote is not a prophecy at all. Yet, we know it is about something that had not yet happened in the days of the prophet. Yet, it is about something that was even to come only after him, something still in the future, something that the prophet wanted us to prepare ourselves for. What then is it, if it was not a prophetic utterance? Is something a prophecy only when ye say, thus saith the Lord? Is it not enough that he spoke as a prophet of something still ahead, an event hidden in God's mind? Yet Brother Branham finished by saying, I have been privileged by God to look and see things unfold to that measure. Now that is the truth. He said that as a prophet, in his prophetic office. But Bob Thompson said it is not a prophecy. How dumb people can be, and how ridiculous they can be, in their desperate attempts to present falsehood. So God allowed them to first make their judgment, and also allowed every man to make his own stand by the carnal judgment, before allowing other quotes of the prophet to pop out, quotes that are plain as day, concerning the same issue, quotes of the successor standard bearer to William Branham's ministry, to vindicate the truth of He that is to come. And I am going to give it to you this morning. But first, I want to say this. The end-time message people, particularly in this country, when they heard the Faith Assembly on the 16th of January, 2005, carried out the baseless and ridiculous judgment against me, a judgment that had no Bible base, a judgment they have not, till today, been able to justify by one shred of scripture, in spite of all the challenges I have been throwing at them in my books to bring my ear by the scriptures. They were laughing, for they were happy. They too called the book idolatry, because I said Raymond Jackson was he that was to come, in fulfillment of a prophetic quote of the prophet. They view the book as idolatry. And their warped perception has gone round the message movement around the world, and they warn the people, run away from Brother Amos. He is an idolatrous preacher, because he makes Brother Jackson he that is to come. I had a letter from a ministering brother in Canada on the same book. He also wrote to ask me to repeal the book. He wrote, He that is to come is my Lord and my Savior, Jesus the Christ, who died for me, and rose again. How ridiculous people can be. How very carnal and very unrevelated. Church, before I read the quote, let me say this. In Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3, Isaiah the prophet prophesied, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 also prophesied concerning John the Baptist, the messenger that would forerun the messenger of the covenant, which is Christ. Malachi chapter 4 they talked about Elijah, that would turn the heart of the Judaistic fathers to the children, according to part A of Malachi chapter 4 verse 6. And all these three scriptures relate to one man's ministry, John the Baptist. Saints of God, would it have been idolatry if in the days of John the Baptist, on the basis of these scriptural promises, I picked up my pen and I wrote, "He that is to come, in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3, has come," would that be idolatry? The truth is, there are many "he that is to come," according to Bible prophecy. All that matters is, what is "he that is to come" related to? Which particular prophecy? "He that is to come" does not stand in vacuum as to make Brother Jackson Jesus Christ. I did not make him Jesus the Christ in the book. You must therefore relate to it on the basis of the statement of the prophet which forms the basis of the entire book. And that is the quote of the prophet on page 567, paragraph 4 of the Seven Seals book. As a matter of fact, there are two prophets, to modern-day Jews, promised for the Jews in the last week of Daniel. There are two men that are to come. So if a Jew writes today, "There are two men to come to the Jews," or "they that are to come," would that be heresy? No. Would it amount to idolatry? No. Because modern-day Moses and Elijah to promise ministries to come for the Jews in the last week of Daniel, for their salvation. You must know that. So you cannot call that idolatry, except you make a man Jesus the Christ, or you make him the Messiah, or the Lord, or God. If you do, then that would be idolatry. But to simply see a title, "He that is to come," and without finding out the basis, you call it idolatry, idolatry. Run away from that, Brother Amos. He is preaching idolatry, amounts to spiritual insanity. What a bunch of squirrels. They get excited over every little nothing. But the eagle is at rest in the cleft of the rock of revealed truth, way up there, surveying the entire horizon. Nothing misses its eye. Nothing. He sees all and judges all. That is the power of revelation. It lifts you higher than any man in the ministry who is not following the continuity of revelation. Though you may not be in the ministry, but the revelation the bride possessed today lifts her above every so-called man of God who is not following the continuity of revelation. It does. That is a truth. For truth is a standard. The continuity of truth we have received today is a standard. It is. So, as I wrote that Brother Jackson is "he that is to come," the material question should be, in what context do I say that? That should be the material question. But no, they will not ask that. And that is another scarecrow the devil has thrown out to blind people to what God did for 39 solid years, revelatorily, for the universal bride of the end time. And that is something every bride element must overcome. You must see what God has done and is doing on your behalf if you be not a reprobate. Therefore, you must overcome every scarecrow of the devil to get you not to see the light and follow the light. You must overcome every device of Satan to get you away from the truth, to keep you from following the light of Christ for this hour. It is a scarecrow. "He that is to come" is the truth for today, for it gives you the principal apostolic father of the end time, according to Malachi chapter 4 verse 6b. He was a God-promised ministry. The fathers of the end time are as much a reality as Elijah of Malachi chapter 4. Moses was also a promised deliverer. So if I picked up my pen, or a Jew in the days of Joshua picked up his pen and wrote, "He that was to come," the delivery to come for Israel, has come and has gone, would that be idolatry? No. Because Moses was a promised ministry. And God has a lot of promised ministries. It all depends in relation to what a person writes. That lets you see, brothers and sisters, this movement, They are like little children that have no understanding of anything. All they have read from the sermon books have only made them more ignorant, for hearing they hear not, and seeing they see not. All the audio messages they listen to, and all the sermon books of the prophet they read, has only made them more ignorant and more ridiculous in their projections and in their thinking. We were in India. My wife and I, you know, we just came back. And in India, a ministering brother would not accept the revelation of he that is to come. You know why? He said it is idolatry. He said, because I cannot accept the fact that Brother Branham will say, he shall increase and I will decrease. He said, only Jesus Christ can increase. And as such, he said he could not accept he that is to come, because nobody can be greater than Brother Branham in this age. That is true, but nevertheless, the prophet made the statement, a great person we are expecting to rise on the scene. We have to relate to it. The question is, how do we relate to it? Therefore, let me tell you now, the greatness is not even in terms of the office. The greatness is referring to the Spirit of Christ by which you administer. The greatness refers to the Spirit of Christ that would use that office to be a continuity revelation, to lead the bride on, in God's plan of salvation. And church, that continuity move of God for the furtherance of His plan of salvation must have preeminence, because you cannot use what God has done in times past to nullify His present tense dealership. You cannot. Are you with me? I said, you cannot use whatever move or revelation of truth God has given to nullify a present tense, subsequent dealing of the Spirit of God in the light. You cannot. If you do that, you would be doing so by the spirit of Satan. The church of God must move on. God must move on in His plan of salvation. That is why subsequent moves and continuity light must have preeminence over what has gone on, because what has gone on is already a possession of the true bride. It has served God's purpose. Can I hear amen? It is already a possession. Who does not know that there is only one God in this assembly? Raise up your hand. Who does not know that women should not preach? Raise up your hand. Who does not believe in justification by faith? Raise up your hand. Who does not believe in sanctification or Christian holy living? Raise up your hand. Who does not believe in the serpent seed revelation? Raise up your hand. None of you raise up your hand. So we already possess these truths. But what about what Jesus Christ is giving today from His living word? What about His present tense revelation? Can you use yesterday's truths to reject today's revelation? So that means today's revelation must have preeminence, because yesterday's revelation is already a possession of the true bride. Who is going to tell these Branham people that they may hear? That is why I said, for 40-something years, they have read sermon books, they have chewed it, they have listened to audio tapes of the prophet, they have played it and replayed it over and over, brothers and sisters, until they have grown worse for it. The message is true, but the readers are perverse people in the main. No wonder they have gone sound asleep with it. It has only made them a child of hell twice worse, for it had been better for them not to have known this way at all than to have known it and behave like a dog that goes back to its vomit. That's apostasy. Absolutely. It will be worse for them than for a Roman Catholic who is following creeds and dogma out of pure ignorance. That is the truth. Saints of God, on page 567, 512, of the Seals Book, paragraph 4, 326, Brother Branham said, it may be time, it may be the hour now, that this great person that we're expecting to rise on the scene may rise on the scene. Let us stop there for a while. They said this is Jesus Christ. I will not disagree, but I will only ask, in what way is this Jesus Christ? I will have to ask you that. Because Jesus Christ is not here in His flesh. So, in what way is this Jesus Christ? You have to see Jesus Christ in an earthly ministry, by His Spirit. It is the Spirit of Christ characterized in a man holding an office, the beginning office of the Ephesian ministry, which Brother Branham's restoration message lays a foundation for. For Elijah's message lays a foundation for the re-establishment of the Ephesian ministry, and the beginning office of that entire ministry, is the office of the chief apostle or the apostle. It is just like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. Let us go there for a little while, it says, for the Lord himself. And that is exactly what the Pentecostals see and why they will not move on in the light. For the Lord himself, to them, that means Jesus Christ himself, the literal Christ, shall descend from heaven with a shout. Hold it there. You cannot get the Pentecostals to follow the light of this day, because they are not going to agree with you in the revelation of the fulfillment of this verse, even though that shout was fulfilled in Brother Branham's ministry. He bore the shout. That is the message of the hour. That is the awakening message. That is the message sent to catch a bride. The shout Paul spoke about here is what relates to the midnight cry which Jesus spoke about in the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. What Jesus called the midnight cry in Matthew chapter 25 is what Paul called the shout. It is an awakening message. But yet, Paul spoke by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord himself shall descend. So, the Pentecostals are waiting for Jesus Christ to literally come down from heaven to fulfill this verse. And they think the three things will happen all at the same time when he comes. A shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump. But yet, you and I know, the shout has been fulfilled in William Branham's message. But yet the Bible says it is Jesus himself. But that is the letter, not the spirit. So, why will you accept that Brother Branham fulfilled it, if you're not looking at it in a spiritual way? Exactly. So, we know. The truth of it is that it is Jesus, by his Spirit, in William Branham, producing the shout. Period. Can I hear amen? I said, the shout was carried on by Jesus Christ in a man, by his Spirit, and that man is William Branham. That is why you must understand, when Brother Branham was saying, it may be the hour now, that this great person, the greatness is not to the flesh or the vessel, but it is to the Spirit of Christ. Who is using that human vessel to characterize and to present something? And that subsequent movements have preeminence. He must increase and the prophet decrease. Because once God moved from the days of Elijah into the days of the chief apostle, every leg bride of Christ that is ordained of God must hear the voice of the Spirit in that hour. Because he that hath an ear must hear what the Spirit is saying currently. The current dealership of God must have preeminence always. You cannot stop God's move. The church is moving on. You cannot turn back the hands of the clock. No wonder, they are always thanking God for what God has done. Brother Branham said that many times. He said, man is always thanking God for what he has done and for what he will do, because they can look back and they see a promise, but they never see what he is doing right now. I ask today, what is God doing now in year 2007? Are you telling me, since 1965 when the prophet passed away, he has been doing nothing? Are we to be bound or limited to 1965 revelation? Is God dead or on a vacation? I have to say it like that. What is God doing now? What is he doing today? He is the I am God. He is not even I was. He said, I am that I am. Ever-present tense living God. What is he doing today? When you know the bride is still here, and as long as the bride is still here, God must continue to move on behalf of the bride in order to bring to fruition his great plan of salvation, a plan that is bigger than any man. And when the bride hour comes to a close, God will continue to move on behalf of the Jewish race. But what is God doing now? That is what they never see. They never see that. They never see that. They cannot tell you in the movement, Brother Emmanuel, what God is doing now. They can only see what he did 41 years ago. And they also look forward toward a promise they will never obtain unless they walk in the light. But they cannot see God move for today. They are blind as a bat to the current move of God. That is also how God moved before the Israelites in 33.5 years of the life of Jesus Christ. And they saw nothing. Yet they carried the Torah. And they had no revelation of anything. With all their reading, they read nothing, they heard nothing, and they possessed nothing. And it is the same thing with the Branham movement. A message like this will not put me in the good book of the movement, but I do not need to be in their good books. but I know it will bring deliverance to somebody, because somebody will wake up and realize, I have to reconsider this thing. I have to search out the truth for myself. Because you cannot join the bandwagon and not care to search out things for yourself. After all, your salvation is in your hands. You are not called to be a blind follower, but a revelated follower. Precisely. Let us go back to the quote of the prophet on page 567, 512, paragraph 4, 326 of the sales book. It may be time. It may be the hour now that this great person that we're expecting to rise on the scene may rise on the scene. Yes, it is just like we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Jesus himself shall descend, but it was Jesus by his Spirit in the ministry of a man called William Branham. So also, this great person is Jesus Christ in the ministry of a man called Raymond Jackson. Simple. You have got to see the basis. So Brother Branham was looking beyond the flesh of the man. He was looking at the Spirit of Christ in a subsequent move. Dot dot dot. This great person that we're expecting to rise on the scene may rise on the scene. Maybe this ministry that I've tried to take people back to the Word has laid a foundation, and if it has, I'll believe in you, for good. And he left us for good, about 2.5 years later. Why? There won't be two of us here at the same time. See, if it is, he'll increase, I'll decrease. I don't know, but I have been privileged by God to look and see what it was unfold to that much. Now that is the truth. They said it is not a prophecy. That is what Bob Thompson, the present-day assistant pastor of Faith Assembly, said. He said it is not a prophecy. If it is not a prophecy, then Raymond Jackson was not the chief apostle. Period. If it is not a prophecy, then Raymond Jackson was deceived when he applied this quote to himself on September the 28th, 2003, during the fall convention at Faith Assembly, in a message he took titled, The Mystery is Coming to a Close, Part 5. But it is a prophetic statement. And Brother Jackson was definitely not deceived. It is a quote of the prophet's successor standard bearer, the chief apostle of the end time. To back it up, I will give you what Brother Branham also said in the same year 1963, on the 29th of December, in a message he preached at Branham Tabernacle, a message titled, Look Away to Jesus. Remember, he spoke of He that is to come, in the month of March, when he was taking the seals. Now in December of the same year, he made a similar statement. Look at paragraph 50. Now we are closer than it seems to be. I don't know when, but it's real, real close. I may be building a platform for somebody else to step on. I may be taken before that time. I don't know. And that time may be this coming week that the Holy Spirit will come with and bring Christ Jesus. He said it like that because it is Jesus Christ in another ministry. I said, it is not Jesus in his flesh, but it is Jesus Christ in another ministry, just like it was Jesus Christ in a shout, born by William Branham. Are you with me? So, they are denying the prophetic quote in the sales book preached in 1963. But here is a similar statement in December of the same year. So what are you going to do with it? If they want to spiritualize the first quote, then what about this second one? Saints of God, I still have an even better quote. I say it is better because it is as plain as daylight. It was also declared in the same year 1963. And brothers and sisters, this is the best of all the quotes on this matter, and it is a clincher. God withheld this quote from being seen by us until all the unbelievers had made their carnal judgment and stand against the truth, denying the truth of the revelation of He that is to come. Then God brought this quote out. A precious brother, Jerry Oval, who after the death of Brother Jackson, read the book, He That Is to Come, said to me, Brother Amos, I see the truth of He that is to come. I believe it. It is the truth. And your defense book is a wow. It is perfect. Later, he came across this quote, and he said to me, Brother Amos, I have another quote which vindicates your position. God bless you, Brother Jerry. And when I saw it, I said, Praise God. You know there are a lot of sermon books we have read in times past when as yet we had not come into the continuity light, which holds things that are material for today. And that is why it is good to read these things again. The message is titled, Spirit of Truth. Brother Branham took it on the 18th of January, 1963, in the Church of All Nations, Phoenix, Arizona. He said in paragraph 43, It may be my going home time. This is the third witness in the same year of his impending home going. It looks very much that way. Now listen. If it is, there will rise somebody after me that will take the message on. I will take it again. If it is, in other words, if it is my home going time, there will rise somebody after me that will take this message on. That is, he will bring continuity to the message. They said Brother Branham preached it all, yet the same Brother Branham said somebody will take the message on. He'll be an old person, not a spirit, but another person, an old ministering brother. But he'll rise after this, after Brother Branham's ministry, and take the message on. That is, he will take the message further. He will bring continuity, and you listen to it. As long as it's scripture, stay with it. Why did he give this warning? Because the person will present new scriptural revelation. He will be used of God to shed new light. And God expects us to accept the truth of Christ as long as it is vindicated by the Word of God. We cannot reject truth simply because Brother Branham did not preach it. That would be idolatry, because the prophet is dead, but Jesus Christ is alive. You want to believe a quote? Then believe this. You want to believe a quote of the prophet? You have got to believe this. You have to. He spoke of a successor standard bearer, one who would bear not only the prophet's measure of truth, but will add further light, taking the message on up further. Because the message is the message of Jesus Christ. It is not about the prophet. It is about Jesus Christ. I said the message is not about William Branham. It is about Jesus Christ. And the message of Christ continues. Who will tell the message movement? Who will tell the movement? But they can go to the seven church ages and declare without understanding, Brother Branham said, everybody who is receiving from only one man, whom the Spirit of God is using to declare the revelation at that time. Yes, that is true. But when that man dies, what happens? When the standard bearer goes, another comes. Another must come. Because there is continuity in the leadership of God for guidance, for scriptural direction, in the light. I also want to give you a quote on that from the Bible. Christ promised that the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, when he comes, he will do two things. He will guide us into all truth. But the truth, I ask, how does it come? There is always a vessel to bear it. That is the first point. And Christ also said, the Comforter will show us things to come. That is, he will show us the plan of God, the move of the Spirit, and that includes the succession of the ministry. I said it includes the ministry succession. That was why Elijah the Tishbite could point forward to Elisha, and that was why Moses could point forward to Joshua. And God told Moses, lay your hand on Joshua before the whole congregation, so that they may follow him, and know that he is the successor man. Elijah pointed to the next move. Moses pointed to the next move. And so did Brother Branham point to the next move. The only difference is that Brother Branham did not give the name of his successor directly. He gave the name indirectly. I say that because if you read the seventh seal, he kept dropping the name of Raymond Jackson. He said, June was watching. In the dream of the rock of revealed truth, which God gave Raymond Jackson, the dream God allowed the prophet to interpret for him there. What was the interpretation the prophet gave? Stay with the word. They will preach everything and go after everything, but you stay with the word. The prophet emphasized, Junie Jackson, he was watching. Go and read the seventh seal again. The prophet was trying to drop something. He was mentioning that name over and over. There is no other name of any of his followers that he mentioned like that. Directly, he pointed forward. But indirectly, he pointed to Junie Jackson. But church, on the other hand, the testimony the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson, bore of the John at this hour was very direct and was plain before the whole world. It was laid out categorically and plainly. he clearly showed the next move. In the message of the prophet, titled Spirit of Truth, from paragraph 23, he said concerning the glory of flowers, what each life has been planted by the Master Life Giver, and he knows just how and what to do. And everything that he has placed here on earth is for his glory. The stars are for his glory. The winds are for his glory. The flowers are for his glory. And we are the crowning of his glory. He is talking of man. But it seems like that everything will obey him but man. Man just seems to. He has such a time, because that he was the only thing that fell. Everything else stayed in its original condition, but man fell. Therefore God has a battle with him, to get him to do what is right, and to obey. This is where I am going, and one of the great problems for God, down through the years, as the history of the church goes, is to find somebody. Brother Branham did not say some people. He said, to find somebody, singular, that he can completely get in his control. He only needs one man. He's always used one man at a time. He did not say he uses only one man, period. No. He said, one man at a time. In other words, one standard bearer goes, another comes to bear the standard, to show the way, to give direction and a focus, to move the bride on. In the accomplishment of the plan of God, and in its continuity revelation, one man cannot do the job. Brother Branham is not denying the place of other plural ministers. No. Here, he is talking strictly of the anchor man. He is talking of the standard bearer. Listen to this. This is a message for the idolatrous Ministry of Faith Assembly of today, James Allen and Bob Thompson, a two-man standard bearer, a two-man committee. A two-man rulership over the bride universal ministry. Now Brother Branham said, he's always used one man at a time. That is at every junction of time. We studied that last few nights. One man, not a group. He just wants one. That's all he needs. Course, two men would have two different ideas. He just makes one man, represents himself through that one person. Never did he do it otherwise than that. See, as such, you must realize, you cannot use what he said in the seven church ages, that everybody is not receiving his own private revelation, but he is receiving collectively from that which God has given, through the voice of the hour, to take away a successive standard bearer. You cannot. That is true. But brothers and sisters, you must remember, one voice goes, another voice comes, to carry on the light of Jesus Christ. It is continuity. It does not give us a different message. It is still the message of Christ in continuity. God simply carries on his plan of redemption. Amen. One anchor man goes, another comes. A standard bearer goes, another comes. That is the woman the prophet was talking about. It takes one man at a time. Precisely. Saints of God, I want to thank God this morning for his grace. The testimony of the prophet not only states that there will be a successor standard bearer, he also revealed the office of the man in the Seven Church Ages book as Joshua and as a Pauline ministry within the Ephesian ministry. But he did not identify the man directly, except indirectly. But the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson, plainly and categorically identified his own successor standard bearer before the whole world, live on the internet platform. In an open convention at Faith Assembly. That is why I have to ask you, what is God doing today in year 2007? Saints of God, you may ask, why am I going all this way? I am laying something before you, a foundation of truth, to show you what the devil will fight vehemently, and what Satan is fighting today. It is the move of the hour. Satan is fighting the move of the hour, and he is also going to fight you tooth and nail. On the revelation of continuity for today, a revelation God gives to us through John. That is what the devil will fight you over. He will use any tactic, and every tactic, to keep you from it, and to derail you. That is what you must overcome. That is a test for your day. That is a test for today. Because, like we said, when God took away Elijah, and brought in the chief apostle, the continuity revelation of the chief apostle, had all of Brother Branham's truths, plus the 39 years continuity revelation God gave the bride through him. But the truth is that we have moved on beyond Brother Jackson's day, because he is no longer here. God has called him home, but the bride is still here. As such, we are living in the days of the third move of God. These are the days of John. The continuity revelation of John is the present tense truth. It takes in all of the 39 years continuity truths of the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson, plus all the revelation truths God gave us through Elijah. John has all that, plus what God is giving from year 2005 till this day. That is the standard of truth. And saints, that is exactly and precisely what the devil will fight you over. And that is what you must overcome. And you cannot overcome without a revelation. Can I hear amen? You cannot overcome without a revelation. Because the devil is not fighting what is past tense. He is not fighting what is past tense. He is fighting what God is doing currently to derail people, to mess it all up. If he fights people at all on that which is past, it is to give them a warped understanding of it, so they are not able to look forward properly. So at the end of the day, the objective of the devil is to blind people. He wants to blind them from what God is doing today. Because God cannot judge you for yesteryears, years which are gone, years that are past. But he is judging you for your stand right now. Your stand for what God is doing today, in your day, in year 2007, is what counts. That is where your trial comes, and that you must overcome. Hence the promise to the overcomer. This is your own day. Many of us were but children when Elijah passed away, but we are living in the days of John, and we are faced with the reality of the continuity revelation of Christ through the John of this hour, a John-type ministry at the end time. Even if you do not believe that there is a John for today, why don't you believe on account of the vindicated major ministry of William Branham, which pointed forward to a continuing ministry, and also because of the testimony of that subsequent anchor man, who also pointed forward to a subsequent continuing ministry? Why then will you not believe there is a John-type ministry for today, a lead apostle, when the two vindicated ministries God set over the bride of Christ both pointed forward? Why will you not believe there is a standard bearer for today, and that there is continuity? The quote of the prophet in Spirit of Truth, which I presented earlier, gives us not only a successor ministry, it also gives us continuity revelation. What a serious quote. I wonder what they will say to it at Faith Assembly. The Branham movement says there is nobody else after the prophet. That is a blatant lie. You lie if you say that, and you do not know the truth. You do not know the truth. You do not even know the message. I just brought out the truth of continuity from the message of the prophet. And church, whatever the devil is throwing at your feet to derail you, and to get you not to follow continuity light, whatever he throws at your feet, to get you not to be ready for the coming of the Lord in this hour, whatever he throws at you, to blind your eye, or to derail you from what God is doing today, in the light of the truth of Jesus Christ, that is what you must overcome, and you cannot overcome it without a revelation. You cannot. This is a serious matter. That is why I said, it is more than the weakness of the flesh. It is about the revelation of truth. Because that is what gives prevailing power. Without it, you cannot overcome anything, no matter how holy you think you live. It is good to live a holy life, but it has no salvational value outside of the righteousness Christ confers upon us by faith. That is an absolute truth. We will now see Revelation chapter 2. But before we read it, let me re-emphasize this. Remember, your testing today is on the basis of the revelation God has given you access to. That is the basis of your test. Even your personal trials, that is allowed to try your faith. That is, it is allowed to try the faith of Christ you have received. But I will say to this movement, who deny there is continuity of revelation and continuity of a ministry successor to Elijah. In Daniel chapter 12, God gave serious prophetic insight all pertaining to the end time, and he also promised Daniel, through the angel, the wise at the end time shall understand. And then when you consider the book of Revelation, remember the book of Revelation goes hand in hand with the book of Daniel. It is even a book that was not written to the Jews. The book of Revelation was written strictly to the Gentile bride. What for? Is it so that they can merely have it and pack it all through the ages of time without revelation? No. Then why did God give it to the Gentile bride and not to the Jews? It is because we are the ones ordained of God to have a revelation of it at God's appointed hour, at the same time. Then it means this. Since the prophet did not unveil all these truths to give us an understanding of everything concealed therein, God must anoint other men to go into these things, which the prophet did not touch in this book, until the entire picture is laid out bare before the bride of Christ at this very end. Can I hear amen? That is a truth. And church, a lot has been unveiled already, but whatever little truths remain, whatever nuggets of truth remain, brothers and sisters, God will use John in this hour to open up everything. We will have the balance of the revelation of written truths, and then move into unwritten truths, and the book will close for the bride. Amen. The present-day revelatory move of God is what the devil is going to test you on, and that is what you must overcome. That is a test for your day. It therefore demands a determination in your heart, looking to God for grace, that you are going to stand for this truth. You are not going to play games with it. You are not going to joke with it. It is your best asset. It is your greatest asset, because you came with nothing, and you are going with nothing. It is in fact the only asset you have. Every other thing will pass away. Then you must value it much enough to lay your all on it, to give it your all, and to live for it, or die for it, if need be, because you will rise on it. There is the power of resurrection in the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is a truth. Remember, we are talking of the promise to the overcomer. So now, we know what we are to overcome, and how we are to overcome. It is by the revelation of the truth of Jesus Christ, contained in the scriptures of truth, that we can overcome. As such, we cannot reject any truth of Christ and overcome, but are already overcome by the devil. We just have to follow continuity. We now want to go into the promise to the overcomer. We will see Revelation chapter 2. Let us first take verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Listen, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, 1, and will give him a white stone, 2, and in the stone a new name written, 3, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. I cannot finish my message today. We will continue on Tuesday. But let me bring it to a certain point and close. I want to emphasize, this is a promise to the overcomer, and nobody else but an overcomer will appropriate this promise. And you do not overcome until you overcome to the very end. I said you are not an overcomer until you make it right through to the end. A precious brother asked me in India. He said, Brother Amos, concerning this promise, he asked me because I took this message in India. He said, Brother Branham said in the third pool that the seven thunders will give us the revelation of our new name. I said, Brother, even the thunders will have to overcome before they can receive their own new name. Are you with me? Even the thunders will have to overcome for them to get their own name. And the thunders are not getting their new name ahead of others in the body. Neither are we going to get our new names from any sinner saved by grace. So nobody's getting any name from any thunder. Let us get that straight. There is no thunder that will give us any new name. Not even the standard bearer of today will give any of us new names. He himself will receive from the Lord, just as every other member of the body of Christ. And that is not here on this side. That is on the other side, after we have overcome. And you have not overcome until you have overcome. It is not over until it is all over. It is not over until it is all over. It is what Jesus Christ himself, of the ruined glory, after we have crossed to the other side, having lived an overcoming life, will give to us. So, no man is going to give it to you, and definitely you are not going to have it on this side of the world. So, sorry, seven thunders will not be giving you a new name. That is definite, because they themselves are looking to Jesus Christ for their own new name. Moreover, there are other things that go with the revelation of this new name. All of us will have to first come before the judgment seat of Christ. Are you with me? Because it is a promise to the overcomer, and you do not overcome until you have finished your work here on earth, and you have crossed to the other side. Can I hear amen? That is the truth. Only then will you get your reward, not from another man, but from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Okay. So that settles that. Yes, Brother Branham may have made such a statement, but you have to take every statement to the word, because to every quote, there is a counterquote, and the truth has to have a foundation of the scripture as its base, to be true. Otherwise, you have to lay such quotes on the shelf, knowing that it is the fan in Christ's hand. It is food for the deer, it is not for the bride. For the food of the bride has the Bible as its sole base, for revelation anchors solely in God's word. If it is not God's word, it is not a true revelation. Amen. We will continue in the next service. God bless you.